بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the topic on the Salah described, and this is class number 8. In class number 7, we discussed the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. That's where we reached, and the meaning of the verses and the rulings regarding the recitation itself. Then afterwards, the person in Salah recites after the Fatiha another surah. Question here: is it recommended to pause between the Fatiha and the next surah, or is it not? There is an opinion, of course, that this is something mustahab, this is recommended. And the opinion goes as follows, that the time for this pause should be equivalent to the time of reciting the Fatiha, and therefore it's going to be a little bit lengthy. However, the correct opinion that this pause should be short pause, and having a long pause equivalent to that of the recitation of the Fatiha, the time taken by the Imam to recite the Fatiha, is closer to the innovation more than to the Sunnah, because it's a lengthy pause. And had the Prophet ﷺ done it, then the companions would have asked him about it, as Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked concerning his pause between takbir and recitation. So therefore, the correct opinion that this pause is yasir, is slight, and there are certain benefits in this. From that is, number one, distinguishing between the obligatory recitation and the recommended one. Distinguishing through this pause between the recommended and the fard, the obligatory recitation and the recommended recitation. This is the first benefit. The second benefit, so that the person takes his breath returns to him. Thirdly, to allow the ma'moom, the one being led in the salah, to recite the Fatiha. Fourthly, it may be that the Imam may have not prepared, meaning mentally, what to recite after the Fatiha. So this will give him a contemplation time as to what to recite after the Fatiha. These are some of the benefits which our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala mentioned concerning this slight pause. Then he recites a surah. Then he recites a surah after the Fatiha, as mentioned earlier. And in accordance with the opinion of the majority of the scholars, that this recitation of this surah is not obligatory, rather than it's a sunnah. Now, should the person recite a complete surah other than the Fatiha, or parts of a surah, certain verses from certain surahs? The sunnah is to and this is the best, is to recite a surah, a complete one, in each rak'ah. However, if it's difficult on the person, then he may divide the surah between two rak'ahs. He may divide the surah between two rak'ahs. Half in each one. Half in each one. Because the Prophet ﷺ one day recited Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, Surah 23, until he reached the story of Musa and Harun in the same surah, where then he was taken by a cuff. So he made ruku'. So this is evidence that it is permissible to divide the surah, especially if it is needed. Now, the surah, as you know, may contain a basmala in the beginning, as all the chapters of the Quran, except for Surah At-Tawbah. But if he starts the recitation from within the surah itself, then he should not read the basmala. Now, what's to recite in the different five obligatory prayers? In this way, we should remember, regarding this matter, we should remember the recitations of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In the Fajr prayer, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to read from the long surahs of what is known as Al-Mufassal part of the Quran, the long chapters of the Mufassal part of the Quran, the lengthy ones of the Mufassal. What is the Mufassal? Mufassal means the last seventh of the Quran. The last seventh of the Quran. And it starts from Surah Qaf, chapter 50, to the last surah of the Quran, and this is Surah An-Nas, chapter 114. This is the Mufassal. And it's called Mufassal because of the many chapters, and the many chapters there are short ones. So in the Fajr prayer, the recitation is from the longest of the Mufassal. And now we know the Mufassal starts from Qaf until Surah, the longest starts from Surah Qaf until Surah An-Naba. From Surah Qaf, this is 50. To Surah An-Naba 78. This is the longest, which is known as طوال المفصل. طوال المفصل. Now, this is the longest. So, what is the medium? The Mufassal is three parts. The longest, and the longest is from Qaf, chapter 50, until 78. The medium of the Mufassal is from 78 to Surah Al-Duha, 93. From 78 to Surah Al-Duha number 93. This is the medium of the Mufassal. From Amma, from Surah Al-Naba, until Al-Duha. And the shortest is from Surah Al-Duha 93 to the end of the Quran. From 93 to the end of the Quran, to Surah An-Nas 114. So this is the Mufassal. This is the Mufassal. It's segmented into three parts. First part is the longest, from Qaf 50 to 78. The second is the medium, from 78 till 93. And the third is the shortest, and that's from 93 to An-Nas. Now, in the Fajr prayer, therefore, the recitation is from Tiwal al-Mufassal, from the longest of Mufassal. And the reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated the Quran in reference to Salat al-Fajr, describing it in Surah al-Isra in chapter 17, verse 78, in his saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. Establish the Salah from midday till the darkness of the night. This refers to the Dhuhr, the Asr, Maghrib and Isha. And recite the Quran in the early dawn, the morning prayer. Verily the recitation of the Quran in the early dawn is ever witnessed, attended by the angels in charge of mankind of the day and the night. Now, here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the Salah, referred to it by Al-Quran, indicating that the Quran should comprise most of the Salah. And it is as such. And that's why Salatu al-Subh remained two rak'ah, unlike the four rak'ahs in Dhuhr, Asr and Isha. It remained two, but the Dhuhr, Asr and Isha were increased to four. Now, in the Maghrib prayers, the recitation is from the shortest of the Mufassal. In the Maghrib prayers, the recitations should be from the shortest of the Mufassal, meaning from Al-Duha, which is 93, to Surah An-Nas, to chapter 114. And in the rest of the prayers, the recitations are from the medium of the Mufassal, meaning from Surah An-Naba, chapter 78, till Surah Al-Duha, 93. And the evidence is from the Sunnah. This is what's mostly done by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in action. Sometimes he sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to recite from the shortest in Salat al-Fajr, sometimes. And sometimes in the Maghrib, he used to recite from the longest. At one time he recited Surah الزلزلة in Salat al-Fajr. He recited it twice, and this is chapter 99. And at one time he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, in the Maghrib prayer. Also with Surah At-Tur, chapter 52. And sometimes, at one time, he also recited Surah Al-Mursalat, Surah Al-Mursalat, chapter 77. So therefore, the Imam should, most of the times, recite in accordance with the action of the Prophet ﷺ most of the times, as described, and sometimes it is permissible for him to read from lengthy chapters, and sometimes therefore he may also choose short surahs in Fajr prayer sometimes. And in the rest of the surahs, to read from the medium, as the Prophet ﷺ directed Mu'adh bin Jabal to read in Salat al-Isha, to read Surah Al-A'la, chapter 87, and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, chapter 88, and Surah Al-Shams, Surah 91. And so this indicates that this is the best. Question: is it permissible for the person to recite the surah in two rak'ah, the same surah in two rak'ahs, meaning repeating it twice? The answer is yes, and the evidence is that from the action of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in that he read Surah Az-Zalzala, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, which is chapter 99. He repeated it in two rak'ahs, completely reciting it in each rak'ah. Someone may say that maybe the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forgot, because it is not from his habit to repeat the surahs. And the answer is, the possibility of forgetfulness is there. However, the possibility that this repetition is tashri', is legislation to the ummah, to make it known to the ummah that this is permissible, preponderates the opinion regarding forgetfulness. Because in origin, the fi'l, the action of the Prophet والسلام, is legislating. And had he forgotten, he would have been reminded. And so therefore, to say that this is a legislative matter is closer to the truth. Now, is it permissible to read in the opposite order? Is it permissible to read in the opposite order? One opinion is that this is permissible, and the evidence is in the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah be pleased with him, and it is in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood in the night, and then he recited Surah Al-Baqarah, then An-Nisa, and An-Nisa is chapter 4, then Al-Imran, and Al-Imran is chapter 3, and this is not in accordance with the known order. And so they said that the action of the Prophet ﷺ is evidence for permissibility. The other opinion is that this is disliked, makruh, and this is based on the argument that the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, put the Mus'haf upon which they were almost in, they were unanimous in the during the time of Uthman bin Affan, they put it in the order we have. So therefore we should not deviate from their consensus, because they are our Salaf, our predecessors, and our leaders. And this is from the Sunnah of the Khalifa al-Rashid Uthman bin Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, and we are commanded to follow him. And also it is disliked because reading in the opposite order may confuse the common Muslims and may be belittle the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the people see that it is read in opposite manners. However, to say that opinion is makruh, is disliked, requires examination. From one angle, to say that the Sahaba are all unanimously agreed on this order, this is not the case, because in some of the companions' copies there are orders different from the order we know of. For example, the Mus'haf of Ibn Mas'ud. On the other hand, concerning the first opinion, the recitation of the Prophet والسلام, as in the hadith of Hudhayfa, reading Surah An-Nisa before Al-Imran, reciting chapter 4 before chapter 3, this could be before the last encounter of Jibreel with the Prophet والسلام. Because we know that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with the Quran in each Ramadan. So this may indicate that introducing An-Nisa before Al-Imran, this could be before the last ordering upon which the Sahaba were almost in agreement concerning the order. So this is the examination of the two opinions. And our Shaykh rahimahullah argues that the order between the surahs, some of it is tawqifi, restricted by revelation, and some of it is ijtihadi, meaning due to the exertion of the efforts by the companions. So therefore, whatever is brought by the Sunnah, like the order between Surah Al-Jumu'ah and the Munafiqeen, and between Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, this is of the restricted nature, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam recited Al-Jumu'ah before reciting Al-Munafiqun, and he recited Al-Ghashiyah after Al-A'la, recited Al-Ghashiyah 88 after 87. So this ordering, is of the restricted type. And whatever is not brought by the Sunnah, then this is from the ijtihad of the companions. And if many in their ijtihad are in agreement, then this would be closer to the truth. And as a final reminder concerning this matter, I would like to refer you to the site where you can find therein an article entitled "The Recitations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Other Than the Fatiha in Salah," where we spoke about the term Mufassal and its three types, and then we tabulated the recitations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in each Salah, in Fajr, in Dhuhr, in Asr, in Maghrib, in Isha, in Jumu'ah, and also in the Eid. So you may refer to that table with the references therein, and inshallah ta'ala, it will be beneficial. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this brings, therefore, the end of this chapter number 8 on the Salah described on the night of the 18th of Jamad al-Akhir, 1426 after the Hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam.